CBS Ion World, I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying. We're going to Germany on the planet Earth for a startup in Germany. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. He also celebrates commercial space these many years. And as space becomes more successful, the SpaceX's and the launches of the private companies, it also involves failure or reversals, but not this time. Bob, there's a German startup called Isar Aerospace. They look to be a success for raising money. How much and what are they going to do with it?
Germany right now has three different rocket startups pushing hard to become the first to launch. The one that seems to be in the lead right now is Isar Aerospace. And they recently announced this week that they have raised another $160 million in new private investment capital. And that brings the total this company has raised to $310 million, a lot of money. You know, it's not a lot of money when you come talk about some sophisticated, some rocketry, but it's enough to get a rocket startup going, build its first rockets, and start selling commercial launches. They are hoping to do their first launch of their Spectrum rocket by the second half of this year, and they will lift off from a new spaceport in Norway. And so what we've got here is three different German companies. The other two are Rocket Factory Augsburg and High Impulse Technology is the other one. They're both all getting close to launch. You've got here now a spaceport in Norway. A new spaceport is being put together in Sweden. You've got two spaceports in the UK. So Europe is not out of the game here. Everything I've just described, though, is completely independent of the European Space Agency and Arianespace. These are independent private companies trying to grab market share and possibly completely supersede Arianespace, which is right now, it has problems.
Bob,
so, there's a future here.
I don't recall. Help me. Is there a rocket port in Germany? I don't remember it.
No, there is none being built at this moment, none that I know. And Germany is not well located for this being the dead center of Europe. I mean, even though it's got a coastline, any launch from there is going to go over land.
Right.
And so Germany doesn't have any launch pads. But, you know, once again, we've got a whole slew being developed on the coasts of the Scandinavian peninsulas. And you've got in England attempt to build two as well.
Oh, sure. I understand.
There's lots of possibilities.
I was rooting for the Chamber of Commerce's that love to hold, you know, contests for spaceports. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, the kids love that stuff, Bob, and you've got to build a generation of space rangers in the 22nd century. We go now.
The way I see it, John, here is when you've got three different German companies, you've got an Italian company, by the way, there's a Spanish company getting building to launch in Spain right now, a suborbital launch. You've got these multiple spaceports. If you're in Europe and you're a kid, you've got more than enough excitement just over the horizon here, so it's a good thing. And once again, this is competition with the United States and China and the rest of the world, and that is good too.
And failure. Virgin Orbit still struggling. What's the status, Bob?
It doesn't look good. Virgin Orbit had suspended its operations, put all its workforce on furlough about 2 weeks ago, because they'd run out of money. The UK's Civil Aviation Authority had basically sabotaged the company by taking 6 months to approve a launch permit. They couldn't make revenue in the interim, and basically they ran out of money. So they suspended their operations as they tried to negotiate a new financial deal. And the rumors were they were going to make a $200 million deal with a Texas investor by the name of Matthew Brown. And they hoped to have that deal settled by the end of last week. Well, that deal fell through. And so they're now scrambling to try to find some other financial capital to keep going. And they have extended their pause in operations. So they have a few people on the payroll right now, but everyone else is furloughed, which means they might be coming into work anyway, just in the hope they can save the company and their jobs. They're teetering on bankruptcy, and it's very bad news for the company. And they might go down. There's no doubt about it at this point. But they might be saved. We just have to wait and see at this moment.
OneWeb, Bob. It's using India for launch facilities. What is OneWeb?
OneWeb is a constellation of satellites in orbit to provide broadband internet service to the globe. They are in direct competition. Well, they're in competition with SpaceX, Starlink constellation. This past week, they completed their constellation, got them all up into orbit after many years of ups and downs, of trials and tribulations. The company had gone bankrupt. It was purchased by investors in India and the United Kingdom government, which brought it back to life. And then they were gonna, so they kept going, launching satellites. And then the contract with the Russians broke the contract and confiscated 36 of their satellites. So they then contracted with SpaceX and India to launch the remaining satellites. SpaceX did three launches, and ISRO did two launches, and the second ISRO India launch, ISRO Space Agency of India, their second launch occurred just this past week, and in the process, that completes the first constellation of OneWeb. They now can provide global internet service to everyone in direct competition with Starlink. It's kind of cool.
And what is Momentus? And this is cool, Bob. Water-based thruster. What is it?
Momentus is an orbital tug company. They are building a system for transporting satellites from their launch orbit to their preferred orbit. This would allow CubeSats, small sats, to launch a secondary payloads on almost any rocket and then use the tug, it's called a Vigoride tug that Momentus is building, to transport them to a different orbit. And in order to do that, Momentus is testing a variation of an ion engine. It means it would have a very low thrust but be extremely efficient, which means it could have a small acceleration but over a very long period of time, which would allow it actually to do things that conventional rocket thrusters can't do. In other words, change the inclination of an orbit significantly. That's extremely energy intense, and you run out of fuel with chemical fuel rocket thrusters. But with this, you could do it. And so they were testing this system on their fifth Vigoride tug in orbit, and they've now announced that it succeeded. And it uses water as its fuel. Water isn't flung out the thruster, but what happens is energy breaks the water up so that the broken molecules are then thrust out of the nozzle, and that produces the thrust. Momentus is interesting because it is, even though this raised the stock price of the company from like 54 cents to 63 cents when they announced this, the next day NASDAQ revealed that two more space companies have now a six-month deadline to get their price of stock above a dollar or they will be delisted. And of those two companies, one was a company named Spire, which builds satellites, and the other one was Momentus, which builds these tugs. Both companies, like Astra, have now 6 months to raise the price of their stock above a dollar, or they will be delisted. Both companies have said they're considering a reversed stock split, whereby they combine stocks to reduce the total number and then bring the price above a dollar. Momentus' success with its thrusters, though, could possibly get its price up without doing a reverse stock split. We're going to have to wait and see. I think that, at least with these two companies, they're in a much more stable situation than the company Astra is. But, you know, we'll see how the stock market considers.
And the investor class is testing what works best. Is it venture capital funding, rounds of funding privately placed, or is it going to the marketplace with an initial offering that puts you in good stead? However, as your stock price declines, the clock ticks down on your ability to stay afloat. Those are two models that Bob is evidencing in Behind the Black are underway. This is the same models used for mining companies, the same models used for software startups. We've seen it over the years. I note right now the venture capital funding seems to be the high hand, and some companies are successful at that. SpaceX would be one. Money chases money. Right now,
you know, John, just let me insert that. With venture capital, you got individual private investors who are risking their money, and it's a much more one-on-one personal situation between the company and the investor. With stock market, it often is a case where weaker companies, I think, use the stock market to try to bring money in, and at least at this stage with the rocket companies. And we're seeing the result of that because a lot of the stock companies that went public aren't doing so well. It could change. This very likely will change over time, but that's where we are right now.
And the question asked about pricing. You know, there's inflation everywhere. Bob asked the price about, are they raising prices on launches? Are they, Bob? Is there evidence of it?
There's evidence. There's evidence at SpaceX that there's an increase in price. SpaceX, in fact, said last year that it's raising its launch price by 10%, and SpaceX said it did that because of inflation. The article I linked to on Behind the Black talks about how this is indicating that the prices for launching are going up. And I'm not convinced of that. Because SpaceX raising its price by 10% still undercuts everybody else in the industry significantly. So nobody else is going to be able to raise their prices because they're still being beaten by SpaceX by a significant amount, which is why SpaceX is getting so much business. What I think this indicates, though, is that the demand is high. There's plenty of information that demand is everywhere. This goes back to those various launch companies we mention regularly, the startups, the ones in Europe, the ones in the United States. There appears to be more than enough demand for rocket launches because the costs by SpaceX, the activity by SpaceX has forced the price of launch down so much that companies that didn't exist before because they couldn't afford to launch are now popping up everywhere, these satellite companies. And so I think the demand continues to be very, very high and is going to remain so, John, over the next year.
We went too fast by OneWeb. I want to double back on that, Bob, because that's in direct competition with my Starlink system. But my memory is that OneWeb is more about a commercial enterprises, large companies linking by satellite, as opposed to Starlink, where it's individual users, or have I got that mixed up?
You're essentially correct. There is competition between these two companies, but it's an overlap competition. Starlink offers its services to residents, to individuals worldwide. They can also do groups. They can also do businesses, you know, make a deal. But they are mostly aimed at the individual customer. OneWeb is designed more because their signals are transmitted down to a ground station and then distributed. And so they can make a deal. It's more efficient in many ways for them to make deals with large providers who then provide to residential customers. So as an example, OneWeb could be a provider of internet capability to a large ISP in a certain region or to businesses that want to communicate with their trucks. It's that kind of thing. Now, there is overlap, though, because obviously if a ISP that serves residential customers links up to OneWeb and gets better service and can lower its price, and in that case, OneWeb is competing directly with Starlink with like a middleman involved.
And we move now to a mystery, or perhaps just a puzzle. This is about a Soyuz capsule now returned to Earth with a leak. What are they looking for, Bob?
This is the Soyuz capsule that linked in that was discovered having a coolant leak in its service module back in December. It had brought three astronauts up to ISS. It came down unmanned this week because they couldn't risk putting people on it to come down. The Russians launched a replacement unmanned Soyuz capsule to act as the lifeboat for those three men and extended their mission probably for a full year instead of 6 months. So instead of coming home now, the capsule came down unmanned. What the Russians are going to do now is analyze the capsule to see if the crew could have come down safely within it, even with the coolant leak. The leak itself had occurred in the service module of that capsule, which did not come back to Earth. They discard that before they come back to Earth. So that service module with the leak burnt up in the atmosphere upon return. So they can't really figure out more about the leak itself, but they can figure out whether or not a crew could have safely come down in this craft with such a leak. And considering the fact that a second leak was discovered in the same kind of cooling system on a Progress freighter, it suggests the Russians might have a systemic problem here, so they better know what the consequences of that problem is on future missions, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to the moon, space exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.